stood before.
You stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. Stood before my failure and carried the cross for my shame.
Thank you, Jesus.
My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. So what can I say? What can I do but offer this heart, oh God, completely to you? So I walk upon salvation,
your spirit alive,
your spirit alive. My life to declare your promise, my soul now to stand. So what can I say? And what can I do?
But offer this heart.
But offer this heart, oh God. Complete it to you.
What can I say?
So what can I say? What can I do but offer this heart, oh God? Complete it. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. And I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered. All I am is yours.
Come on, sing it out with me.
So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned of the one who gave it all. And I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrender. All I am is yours. So I'll walk upon salvation, your spirit alive in me.
My life to declare.
My life to declare your promise, my soul now to stand.
So what can I say?
So what can I say? And what can I do but offer this heart, oh God, completely. What can I say? And what can I do? And offer this heart, oh God, completely.
If you're able, will you please stand with us? So I'll stand. Hallelujah.
So I'll stand. With arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. And I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered. All I have is yours.
with arms high and heart abandoned, in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I am is yours, and all I am is yours, and all I am is yours.
So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned, in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I have is yours. Sing that with me. So I'll stand. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned, in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrender. All I am is yours. All I
Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise with me this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We lift our hands in worship, Lord, with our hearts abandoned to you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here with us this morning. Thank you for being here in our worship, Lord. We've come to worship you and lift you up, God. We want you to be pleased. We want to offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable form of worship. Hallelujah. For all that you've done for us, Lord, it's our reasonable expression and response to worship you with all that is within us, our hearts abandoned to the one who gave your all. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you speak out your praise for a few moments? Just worship him. Come on, worship him, church. Hallelujah. He gave his all for you. Come on, break through and worship this morning. Press on in into the presence of God. Press on in to the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to the Lord, glory to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 So what can I say? So what can I say? And what can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. Have you done that today?
So what can I say? And what can I do? But offer this heart.
Thank you, Lord.
Completely to you. Just once more. Hallelujah. So what can I say? And what can I do?
but offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. Thank you, Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm just so thankful for the presence of the Lord. His presence in this house today. I feel like the Lord's given us a word today. How many of you are ready for the word of the Lord? Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and then we will go over to the book of James chapter 4. Again, I want to welcome all of those who may be joining us online. May the Spirit of the Lord touch you today is my prayer. May you live a victorious life in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning, victorious living. How many know that God has called us to a life of victory? I didn't say he'd called us to a life free from pain or sorrow or heartache, because he said in this world you will have tribulation. But I said he's called us to a life of victory in spite of what we face or what we're going through. He said victory is yours. Victorious living. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse number 10. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil or schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. In the book of James, chapter 4, beginning with verse number 7, verses 7 and 8, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Would you stretch your hand toward me today and pray with me? And I want to pray for you as well, Lord. We just thank you for the time that you've given us now in your word. We thank you for your presence that's moving in this house through song and through giving in various ways. God, we just give you praise for the way your spirit moved in our Sunday school hour this morning. Glory to you and praise unto your name. But Lord, we're asking now for a heavy anointing, a special anointing from heaven to come upon us in the name of the Lord Jesus, because we know it's the word that will keep us. When Monday morning comes around and Tuesday and Wednesday, Lord, we just know that the word is what's going to keep us. It's your word that's going to sustain us and empower us. And we're praying for the word of the Lord to just go deep into our hearts, change and transform us today. May the Spirit of the Lord remove every hindrance. I pray that there would be a reverence and an awe for you in their house. In your house, God, there wouldn't be constant moving around, but God, there would be a hunger and a thirst for you to focus in on what you want to say to us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you that there is victory over the devil. The devil has no power over the child of God and those who are surrendered to you. And I just come against every attack and every scheme and every spirit of the enemy that may try to hinder here this morning. I cancel those in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know this body is agreeing with me right now for freedom in the spiritual atmosphere. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for making every wrong right. You're able to do whatever needs to be done in this place. May the glory of the Lord be revealed, and may the word of the Lord go forth with free course and liberty of the Spirit. And we'll, oh, glory to God, and we'll give you the praise and the glory for what you have done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, a strong Son of God, we pray these things. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise as you're seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anybody sense a breakthrough in the atmosphere as we began to pray just a few moments ago? I'm telling you, there's something powerful about when you begin to pray and seek the face of God together and come against the forces of the enemy. Because God's called us to victorious living. Victorious living. Earlier this week, I had an experience I want to share with you that serves as a backdrop for this message today. In the middle of the night, I woke up having some disturbing dreams, and I immediately sensed the presence of evil in the room. How many of you have ever experienced what I'm talking about? I mean, right, you're having just wonderful sleep. I hadn't been asleep but for a couple of hours, and all of a sudden I woke up and the presence of evil was in the room. I sensed the enemy. I sensed those evil spirits. I had some horrible dreams, and I don't know about you, but I felt shame. I felt condemnation. I felt like, what in the world? And I was so thankful to look over and thank God I was in my own bed. I was in my own house. I was with my wife, thank the Lord. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The presence of evil had just filled that room, and once I got my bearings and realized what was going on and realized this was a deliberate attack from hell and knew that the enemy had come against me, it was right then I sensed the Spirit of God speak to me and say, you know who you are, you know who you belong to, and you know the power that resides within you. Begin to speak my name and begin to speak the Word of God, and the power of God began to move, and I began to speak the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I sensed that evil presence began to leave that room. I felt the peace of God come. Glory to God. I had my hands up in the air. I was hoping I wasn't going to wake Laura up. But in the name of the Lord Jesus, I felt the Holy Spirit begin to move. And I realized one more time that the child of God, and I believe God wants me to share this with you today. I felt the impression of the Spirit because he said, this is a word not just for you, but this is a word for the church. This Sunday, I want you to tell my people they are my children and my power. Power resides on the inside of them, and they've got to start utilizing the power that I have given them, because in my name, in the name of Jesus, there is power over the enemy. There's power over the forces of darkness. There's power over the enemy of your soul. And too many Christians these days are letting the enemy win, but it's time that we rise up in the name of the Lord and stop being on the defense and get on the offense and let the enemy know who we belong to. Hallelujah. And glory to God. I've just been praying a covering of the blood of Jesus over my mind and over my home and over my kids every single night, making sure I do that before I go to sleep. And praise God, over the last few nights, I haven't had any interruptions in my sleep. I give God the glory and I give God the praise. I'm here to tell you, spiritual warfare is going on, but there is a power that comes from heaven. There's a power that comes from the Spirit of God that will allow you to overcome no matter what you're facing. We all face the attacks of the enemy. We all have challenges in our life, but praise be to God, greater is the one who resides on the inside of you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's called us to victorious living. He's not called us to sit over in the corner somewhere just taking all the blows of the enemy. He's called us to rise up and get on the offensive. Too many Christians are on the defensive. How many of you know he said it's time to fight the good fight of faith? Lay hold of eternal life. Hallelujah. Douglas MacArthur, one of the greatest generals, once said, in war there is no substitute for victory. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to settle for anything less than victory. That's why Jesus died on the cross. That's why 3 days later he rose again. Not so that you could walk around with your head hanging down. Woe is me. Oh, we all have problems in life. But how many of you know that we don't have to stay there? He said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. If you never have any joy, there's something wrong. If you never have any, oh, glory to God. I said, if you don't have joy, something is wrong. It's time for a breakthrough in your life. If the enemy's been constantly wreaking havoc in your life, it's time to utilize the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, in my name, there is power over the enemy. I just want to share with you three principles of combating the enemy. How many of you want to live this life of victory? You see, first of all, you've got to realize the attack you face. Because a lot of times we go through our lives and we go through circumstances and we go through all these things that are happening. We don't even realize what's going on in the spirit realm. We don't realize that a lot of times it is a pure attack of the enemy. And we're responding with natural fleshly weapons, fleshly responses, instead of responding in the spirit, instead of going to prayer, instead of going to his word, instead of lifting up our hands and giving God praise and praising him through the situation and praising him through the storm. Sometimes the attacks are blatant and obvious, like when I woke up the other night. But other times those attacks are subtle and they are deceptive. And it takes the discernment of the Holy Spirit to recognize that the thoughts that I'm thinking right now and the mood that I'm operating in and the way I'm seeing my life and the way I'm seeing my family or my work situation, this is an attack of the enemy. No wonder he's called you and I to be, not, don't be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, because we have to have our minds renewed to think the way that God thinks. The war that I'm talking about is going on at this very moment. It's going on in this atmosphere. But how many of you know the devil is defeated? There's a war that's going on in your mind. There's a war that's going on in your heart. There's a war that's going on in your home. There's a war that's going on with your kids. There's a war that's going on in the workplace. There's a war that's going on. And that is why all of us have to battle every day to do what is right instead of doing what is wrong. Anybody still believe that there is a right and there is a wrong? We must have the power. We can't do this by ourselves. We must have the power of the Holy Spirit within us to enable us to overcome. Notice that Paul said in verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Other people are not the enemy. Other people are not the enemy. I don't care what they've done to you. I don't care what has happened. They are not the enemy. This is a spiritual battle. So if you're looking to fight people, if you're looking to get even with someone, if you're holding on to bitterness, if your heart in your heart against someone, then you are in the wrong war. You're only hurting yourself. And most of all, you're hurting the heart of God. Because the Bible says in Colossians 3 and 13, he said, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against one another, even as God in Christ forgave you, you also forgive one another. God, has God freely forgiven you? Raise your hand if God has always forgiven you every time that you've asked him to forgive you. Then, my friend, he has given you an admonition to forgive as you have been forgiven. Well, I don't know if I can do that. Well, it might be a process. It might not be something you can do just right now, but you got to start somewhere and begin that process of forgiveness and choosing to let it go and choosing to love. And as you receive God's love, you can give it. As you receive his forgiveness, you give it away. Freely you have received, freely give. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Every Christian is in this war, and every Christian has to fight through the Spirit to be victorious. If you are a Christian, you are involved in spiritual warfare, whether you want to or not. You got to get ready to rumble. You got to get ready to fight. Because as we get closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus, the Bible tells us in the last days, right? Men's hearts will wax worse and worse. Lovelessness will abound. Many will have their own conscience seared with a hot iron. I'm telling you, the spirit of deception is alive and well. But as we get closer to the coming of the Lord, you've got to stay in God's word now more than ever before. You got to keep yourself in the love of God now more than ever before. You got to stay in the house of God. You got to stay in His word. You got to stay in prayer. You got to keep on seeking the Lord, because deception abounds. You're in spiritual warfare. When you give your heart to Jesus, you get into this fight, this spiritual fight. God not only puts salvation in your heart, He puts a fight in your spirit. Anybody got that fighting spirit inside of you that says, no matter what comes my way, that no matter what I face, I'm not giving up. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm not quitting. I've come way too far to turn back now. I'm pressing on in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going all the way to the end, because the Bible says they that endure to the end shall be saved. It's not how well you start. It's how you finish. There's anybody here want to finish well? Hallelujah. That fighting spirit. Fight on. I'm not talking about fighting people. I'm talking about fighting the enemy and fighting the spiritual forces that come against us. When Paul came to the end of his life, he said in 2 Timothy 4 and 7 to the young protege Timothy, the young pastor, he said, I want you to remember, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all of them who love His appearing. He's saying to Timothy, I want you to have a fighting spirit. I want you to have a militant spirit. I want you to have this determination spirit that says, you got to keep on keeping on. You got to keep on doing what God's called you to do, no matter what you face. I believe there are too many soldiers asleep in the barracks. And many Christians surrender without even without firing a shot. As a matter of fact, there's some maybe sitting here today or maybe watching online. You feel like you're not even in a war. The reason why many people don't feel like they're in a war is because they've laid their weapons down and basically gone the way of the world. The reason why some people get along with the devil so well is because they're traveling in the same direction he is. But I'm telling you here today, listen, church, as a follower of Jesus Christ, as one who has confessed that He is Lord and Savior of your life, you're not supposed to get along with the devil. Your heart and manner of life should be in direct opposition to the devil, his ways, and the ways of this sinful world. If you don't live your life in direct opposition to the ways and the mindset and the culture of this world, then something is wrong. How many of you know you can't straddle the fence in this war? You cannot be neutral. You're either on one side or the other. I don't know about you, but I want to be on the Lord's side, because that's the side that's going to bring victory. It's a life of holiness. It's a life of righteousness. Give me an example of what you're talking about. What does it mean to live a life of righteousness and holiness? Well, there's lots of different examples, but I'll tell you one that's in my spirit right now. Is it all right if I share it with you right now? How many of you have a Facebook page? Raise your hand. It's okay if you have a Facebook. I'm not going to get all over you. Okay. I got a Facebook page. Some of you have other social media pages. Matter of fact, we're using Facebook to stream this service right now. Here's what I'm trying to say to you this morning, church. If you have a Facebook page, if you're going to live a life of holiness, then the kind of pictures that you put on there and the kind of words that you put on there ought to reflect the holiness of God. Because sometimes I look at people's Facebook page and they've got cuss words here and they're talking about being a child of God, and they got this inappropriate picture here of some naked woman almost on their Facebook page, and then they want to talk about being a child of God. This is just one example of what it means to live a holy life. If you're going to talk about Jesus, if you're going to say that He's the Lord of your life, then live it. Come on, give the Lord praise in this house. So why don't you go home this afternoon and look at your Facebook page and see if there's anything that shouldn't be there. That's just one example. It's really about looking at your whole life. Well, it's not about, well, I don't care what other people think. Well, what does God think? Start with Him. Because that's where the life of holiness really comes. What does God think? Number two, realize the adversary you fight. Realize the adversary you fight. Now, we're told who the enemy is in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. The devil is our enemy. The forces of darkness are our enemy. How many of you know a lot of times we give the devil a whole lot more credit than we should give him, though? How many of you know that not everything that happens in your life is a result of the devil? Nevertheless, we need to know who he is and how to defeat him in Jesus' name. Because there are times it's very blatant, it's very obvious that the enemy is attacking. We have to recognize what's going on in the spirit realm. How many of you know that you've got to be spiritual enough to recognize it? You've got to be in tune with the Lord enough. You've got to be close enough to Him, spiritually sensitive enough to know what's going on. And to recognize, wait, this is an attack. This is spiritual warfare. Verse 12 tells us our battle is against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That tells me that Satan is a spiritual being. And that ought to tell you that not everything spiritual is necessarily good, but it shouldn't surprise you that our fight is spiritual because our enemy is spiritual. You can't fight Satan on a natural plane. You cannot fight Satan with fleshly weapons. You've got to fight him on a supernatural plane. You're not going to win a war against Satan by sheer willpower. You can't just muster up some more strength and say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this if it kills me. How many of you know you don't have enough strength, you don't have enough power within yourself to accomplish overcoming the attacks of the enemy? It takes the power of the Lord. It takes the power of His Word. No wonder He said it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Hallelujah. It's by my Spirit. He is not an enemy to be trifled with or to take lightly. We go on to find that our war is not against principalities and powers, but against the rulers of the darkness of this age. I want to say, on the one hand, don't underestimate the power of the devil. Don't ever think that you can handle him in your own strength. Because if you think you can handle him in your own power, he will whip you. He will overpower you every single time. We're told in verse 11 to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles literally means the methods or the deceit or trickery of the enemy. The Living Bible translates it this way: watch out for the tricks of Satan. Anybody know that the enemy is a master at trickery? He's a master at being cunning and deceptive. The master of deception. No wonder the Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and 8 to be sober. Anybody know what sober means? It literally means to be self-controlled. It means to have self-moral judgment. Be self-controlled and be vigilant. That word vigilant is very important. It means to be keenly watchful and aware and alert. You've got to keep your spiritual guard up at all times, because the very moment you let your guard down, you leave a crack open in the door. That's what the enemy's, he just wants a crack. If you don't leave that door completely shut and you leave it open just a little bit, he'll find his way in somehow. He said, be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. What does the next verse say? But resist him. Everybody say resist. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. That gives me hope, knowing, you know what, the same devil you fight, I fight, and vice versa. I've got to resist him the same way that you do, through the word of the Lord, through prayer, through persistence in surrendering to God. The devil has deceived us in the way we think about him. For so many, they just conjure up in their minds a little man wearing a long red suit with a long tail and a pitchfork. How many know that that's not the devil? Matter of fact, the Bible says nothing about that. Absolutely nothing. Instead, here's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11 and 14. Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. If you could see the devil in bodily form, it would shock you how attractive he would look. It would even shock you how gracious and kind he would seem to be. Very cunning, very deceptive. You would never know that he is the most wicked force in the universe by just looking on the outside. But how many know that's where the Spirit of the Lord comes in? When you've got the Holy Ghost residing on the inside of you, something won't be right. There'll be something that just doesn't agree with your spirit. That's why we've got to walk in the Spirit, so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we'll truly be spiritual, truly be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit, we will be able to discern. Hallelujah. I don't care what the enemy conjures up. We'll be able to discern what's going on, and God will protect us. You see, the enemy's doing everything he can to destroy us. I hope you know this, but the devil is not your friend. The thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's what he wants to do. He wants to destroy you. Sometimes it starts out with just a little thing. Let me go back to that illustration of the crack in the door. Just one little crack. One little compromise. The Holy Spirit's already been talking to you and telling you, no, don't do this. Don't go that way. Don't do that. But yet you've opened the door. You've heard the expression, you give him an inch, you'll take a mile. It's true, isn't it? You got to keep the door closed to the devil. As I talk about the devil, I know that it can be intimidating, because he is a powerful force. That's why we've got to take this thing seriously. That's why we've got to take spiritual warfare seriously. The enemy is out to steal and kill and destroy your life. He's out to destroy your marriage. He's out to destroy your kids. He's out to destroy your home. He's out to destroy your peace and your sanity. But that's why we got to remember this last point. We've got to realize the advantage we've been given. Oh, hallelujah. Won't you turn to somebody beside you and tell them, we've got the advantage. Hallelujah. We've got the advantage. He said in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Literally what the verse says is put on the armor of God and keep it on. Keep it on. Don't just put it on one time, but keep it on. I know we don't wear the same clothes every day, because that would be boring, right? We're worried about what other people might think. Well, we wouldn't like it ourselves. But this is one garment that you need to put on every day and be satisfied with it, because it's a beautiful garment. It's the garment of righteousness. Hallelujah. It's the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and our waist girded with truth and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and praying always in the Spirit and supplication for all the saints. He said, I want you to take this thing up. I want you to take it up on a regular basis. Put on this beautiful garment. So although Satan is dangerous and deadly, he is not invincible. We have the advantage. He may be powerful, but he's not all-powerful. Satan is not omnipotent. He is not omniscient. He is not omnipresent. There's only one who is everywhere at the same time. There's only one who is all-powerful. There's only one who is all-knowing, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God and our Savior. We've got the advantage. Hallelujah. 1 John 4:4, I quoted it earlier, but I want to say it again because I feel it so deep and powerful in my spirit right now. Greater is the one who gives advantage. Are you hearing me? Greater is the one who is in you than he that is in the world. As we talk about advantage, you've got to live your life in a manner that causes you to keep the advantage. Because if you live like the world and you live like the devil and you go the ways of the world, you lost your advantage. I don't feel like I have victory over the enemy. Let me ask you a question. What is your level of surrender to God? Because your level of surrender to God will determine the amount of power you have over the forces of evil. Well, I might be holding one or two things back in my life. Well, then don't expect complete victory over the devil. Isn't that what James 4 is telling us? I read that at the very beginning. I'm transitioning over to that scripture now. James 4, therefore submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to God. That's the key to this authority. That's the key to living and operating in this advantage. It's submission to God and drawing near to Him. Submission to God sets us up for the power of God. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. If you want the power of God, you first got to have purity from God. Purity precedes power. I don't feel like I have enough power. Well, how pure are you living? Because it's the purity of God that comes into your life that gives you the power. If the purity of Jesus' blood is absent over our lives, we forfeit God's authority over Satan and his evil spirits. Did you know that there's not a single verse in the Bible that tells us we are to run from the devil? The Bible says we're to flee temptation, just like Joseph did from Potiphar's wife. We're to flee from sin, but we're not supposed to run from the devil. The Bible says we are to flee sin and unrighteousness, but it never says we're to flee from the devil. The Bible says we are to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil. Some of you need to do some resisting this morning. You need to do some submission to God and some resisting of the devil. That's where your victory is, victorious, living in Jesus' name. Jeffrey Ward, in his book, The Civil War, tells a story about a scene that took place on the battlefield during the Battle of Gettysburg. I love history. I mean, like history out there. He said, right in the middle of the Battle of the Wilderness, all the staff men who had been fighting in the East all this time, Grant had just come from the West, kept talking about Robert E. Lee, Robert E. Lee, Robert E. Lee this and Robert E. Lee that. He's going to do this and he's going to do that. And Ulysses S. Grant heard all he wanted to hear and finally said to them, I'm tired of hearing about Robert E. Lee. You would think he was going to do a double somersault and land in our rear. I want you to quit thinking about what he's going to do to you, and I want you to start thinking about what you're going to do to him. And I believe from a spiritual perspective, we got to stop thinking about what the devil's going to do to us and what kind of what he's got in store for us this week. We need to start thinking about what we're going to do to the devil when we get on our face before God and seek his holy face and operate in the spirit. I'm tired of living on the defense. I'm tired of seeing God's people over in a corner somewhere. I'm wondering what kind of attack from the devil's coming next. It's time for the people of God to rise up in Jesus' name and say, I'm coming after you, devil. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not have my home. You will not have my family. You will not have my peace. You will not have my sanity. In Jesus' name, I'm going to lift up praise and worship to the Lord. And even though I've got problems like everybody else, I'm not going to be handicapped by my problems. I'm not going to be paralyzed by them. I'm moving forward with joy and victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, give him praise. Hallelujah. I'm talking about victorious living. Turn to somebody one more time and tell them we've got the advantage. We've got the advantage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've got the advantage because Jesus said in Luke 10 and 18, anybody believe what Jesus said about us? Jesus said, I give you authority. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I give you authority to trample over scorpions and over serpents, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing. I said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. What are you afraid of? What are you fearful of? The devil is a liar and the father of lies. Quit listening to what he has to say and start listening to what God has to say. What is the word of the Lord? I'm going to stand on his word. He said, I give you power to tread upon them, not be on the defensive, but on the offensive. Hallelujah. I like how the Message paraphrases the same passage in Luke 10. See what I've given you? Safe passage as you walk on snakes and scorpions, and protection from every assault of the enemy. No one can put a hand on you. Somebody needs to hear that right there. No one can put a hand on you at the same time. All the same, the great triumph is not in your authority over evil, but in God's authority over you and his presence with you. Not what you do for God, but what God does for you. That's the agenda for rejoicing. Hallelujah. What God has done for the authority that he has given me. How many of you know it's not your authority? It's not my authority. It's the authority of God that we are to utilize in this warfare. And each piece of the armor must be put on carefully. With prayer, drawing upon divine resources. This is spirit-energized, spirit-enabled, spirit-directed prayer. Praying in the spirit is an admission. Lord, I don't have the power on my own to be victorious, but I depend on you. Hallelujah. That's the kind of prayer that brings victory in our lives. As Laura comes to the piano, how many of you are operating in that kind of victory this morning? Are you operating with the advantage? If not, then why not? You ought to be walking in advantage. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I've got an advantage. Hallelujah. I've got an advantage that the world doesn't understand. I've got an advantage that people that are just living day by day, just going through their routine, going through their natural process every day. I've got an advantage because I've got Jesus in my life. How many of you got Jesus in your life? Then it's time to start living like you've got Jesus in your life. Live like you've got authority. Live like you've got power in his name. He didn't call you to a life of depression. He didn't call you to a life of discouragement. He didn't call you to a life of being defeated. He called you to a life of victory, victorious living. Hallelujah. He said, the joy of the Lord shall be your strength, even in your pain, even in your suffering, even in your heartache. The joy of God will be your strength. Would you please stand and lift up your hands to the Lord and praise, hallelujah, and just thank him for the advantage he's given unto you, the advantage of being an overcomer. Hallelujah, you're an overcomer. You're not just an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. Get that in your spirit today. You are victorious. Live your life in victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So that means I don't have to settle. You don't have to settle. I guess this is just the way it's going to be. I guess this is just what my life is going to be like. You ever heard that mentality? It just makes me want to, you know, no, don't settle. Don't settle. God said, you've got the advantage. Anybody believe you've got an advantage in Jesus' name? He said, in my name you shall lay hands on the sick. All these things, in my name. The name of Jesus is powerful. Hallelujah. Would you lift up your hands and give God praise with me right now? Hallelujah. Thank him for the advantage. Thank him for being, you're an overcomer. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. We lift you up, Lord. We lift you up in praise. We lift you up in worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, help us to be totally in surrender to you. That is where our power comes from. That's where our advantage takes place, is in surrender and submission to you. Hallelujah. So in a fresh way, this is what I sense the Spirit of the Lord leading. In a fresh way, I want to lead you through this right now. Lord, I surrender myself to you. You're welcome to come to the altar if you'd like. Maybe you have a need of some other kind. Just come on. We'll pray with you. But right where you are, God, I surrender. If you're watching online, God, I surrender. I'm sorry, that's going to mean for some of you repentance, turning away from sin, turning away from unrighteousness, turning away from the things that have caused a disruption in the relationship. God, I'm sorry. I repent, I turn away, and I ask for your forgiveness in my life. Wash me in your precious blood. Change my heart and change my life. Oh, glory to God. And as you do that, he said, now I want you to resist the devil. Resist the devil. Every force that's been coming against you, every lie that's entered into your mind in the name of Jesus, he'll have to flee. He didn't say he might flee. It said he will flee. So would you do that with me right now? Lord, I submit to you wholeheartedly, and I resist the devil. I resist him in Jesus' name. Come on, say that with me. I resist you, devil, in Jesus' name. I resist you. I resist you against my mind and my spirit and my body. I resist you in my family. I resist you in my church. I resist you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I resist you on the work, in the workforce, on the job. I resist you, Satan, in Jesus' name. Because it is written. Isn't that what Jesus did? It is written. If Jesus needed to resist the devil, how much do we need to resist the devil? He left us an example. It is written. Hallelujah.